Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the National All Vocational Rehabilitation Call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded today, Tuesday, June 9th, 2015. I would now like to turn the conference over to Nate Arnold. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Good afternoon, everybody. I know you all probably thought you'd heard the last of me, but since Danielle is not available today, they called me up from the minors to pinch hit for her. So I'm going to see if I still remember how to do this kind of stuff. We will not take too long with our updates because we do have a great presentation for you today. Dr. Joe Ashley is going to speak to you and Michelle about WIA and what it means to Partnership Plus opportunities. So that will hopefully be the bulk of our presentation. In terms of cost reimbursement, I have absolutely nothing but good news for you. Most of you probably know last month was a really good month for us here in terms of getting work back. I know you've probably heard me and Danielle say about how all the work that we did in terms of hiring great people and getting them trained last year has really started to pay off, and we have really dug out of that backlog. We now only have about 2,000 cases pending. That's literally a third of where we were roughly this time last year. We're working May cases, so the stuff that we're working on is much more current. You should be finding out about cases much sooner. In terms of money, I think last month we broke the all-time record. It was a little over $29 million that went out of here in 1 month, which was really very impressive. Hopefully you're all enjoying that, getting new carpet for your offices or whatever you're doing with it. But it was, like I say, it was good. We're much more current. We're working May cases. If you have outstanding cases you've not heard about that are April or before, then contact the help desk. They've been doing a really good job. I believe they're current and responding to all of your requests. If not, let us know, and we'll throw additional resources at that as well. One other thing I did want to mention, we've received a number of inquiries. Obviously, everybody hears and reads the news, and you heard about the hacking that apparently went on at the Office of Personnel Management. We still don't know who all was impacted. As far as we know, it is limited to just current and former federal employees. So there shouldn't be any concern, as far as we can tell, for any state VR personnel who, through the suitability process, have, you know, provided personal information or anything. If we hear anything at all different to that effect, certainly we will be in touch with you right away. I think with that, we're going to get an update on the ticket portal, so I'm going to turn it over to Desiree Fitzgerald.
Hello, everyone. I can't believe we're already at June. We've been talking about it and talking about it, and we're finally here. And that's good news for two reasons. One, because the new ticket portal is ready for prime time, and we'll be letting people in this month. But also because as we implement the new ticket portal, we can use those same resources to automate the VR payment process, which means we can get your payments to you much quicker, your reimbursements to you much quicker. So hopefully next year this time, or even before this time, we're aiming for April 1st, that we'll be coming to you with good news about VR payment automation. But for this particular June, we have a lot of activity related to the new portal implementation. And we put those dates into a calendar just so you'll be able to reference the variety of things that are going to be coming your way to make sure you don't miss anything. We have something coming out today, which is a what you can expect message. and it will review for you things you need to do to get ready to use the portal if you haven't done that. But it will also tell you what's going to be happening next week and in coming weeks related to the portal. Next Monday, the 15th, everyone who is already registered or enrolled for our portal, that would be those of you who have already had communication with someone here to give them your user ID and your MySSA information so that they could enroll you. If you've done that, then you'll be getting this message that comes out on the 15th, and that message will give you further direction. It'll give you the link to the portal as well as information about a secure login page where there'll be a self-paced training module, an updated user guide, new to you all. It's updated for those who are part of the pilot, but a new user guide and other aids. So we hope that you would pay attention to your gov delivery so that you won't miss those messages, the one coming out today and the one coming out next Monday. But as of Monday, we consider the portal as having been implemented and live. And, of course, we know that there are folks who will be completing suitability or initiating it, and also initiating and completing the MySSA. So on a daily basis, we expect that we will be enrolling people as you're ready. But the big initial launch will be on the 15th. But don't let that discourage you if you're not ready. We're hearing that it takes about 2 or so weeks for the MySSA account. So if you start now by the end of the month, you could be enrolled as well, assuming that the suitability has already been done. But either way, if you need any help from us, we're here to help. But back to the calendar, as we implement the current portal, we will be cutting off transactions as we implement the new portal, I don't want to confuse you, we will be cutting off transactions in the secure provider portal that you are currently using. You will still be able to use that portal for queries and reports if you want to, but if you're in the new portal, you won't need to. But otherwise, the queries and reports will still be available there, but the transactions will not. That's for the 16th. You'll see that on Wednesdays from June 17th through the end of July, through Wednesday, the 29th of July, there will be orientation sessions. Those orientation sessions will basically give you an overview of the training material that's available to you, and it will be an opportunity for you to ask questions and have folks on the line who can help you get used to the new tools. So that'll be a good opportunity. Those sessions will be repeatable. You wouldn't be making a commitment to all of those days. And we've also scheduled one session in lieu of the July all call, in case your calendar doesn't allow you to make a Wednesday session. You already have a date reserved for your VR call, and so Awesome wanted to make sure that you had an opportunity. So we're using that date that's already reserved as well for your convenience. But back to the June calendar, there's going to be a systems release that will cause us to have to bring the portal down June 19th at 6 p.m. through that Sunday at 8 p.m. So there'll be downtime with the systems release, and that's not unusual, and that will happen every now and then. But this particular systems release is doubly important because that's the release that's going to include the capability for you to submit your electronic files, the batch file upload capability, and for the timely progress review capability. So it won't be until after the release that happens that weekend that we'll be testing those files with the pilot participants, and we do have a few agencies that are pilot participants that we can test with. And if we need testers with unique client lists or of a certain nature, then we will reach out to additional VR agencies for that testing, or you can reach out to us if you want to be a part of that testing as well. So that will be happening the week of the 22nd. So depending on how that release goes with the TPR and the batch file upload and the subsequent testing on that Monday and Tuesday or so, we're hoping that we can extend that functionality to everyone who's in the portal, to all of you who are using the portal at that point. But we do want to test it thoroughly first. So you would stay tuned for that. And then June 30th is the date where we expect the current portal and IVR to no longer be available. So that would be a key date for planning to no longer be able to use the current portal and to use the new portal or to use the processes that Katie is about to tell you about, the manual processes that would be available. But we do encourage you to continue to prepare to use the new portal and reach out to us if there's anything that we can do to help. I wanted to highlight the portal hours of operation. We may have mentioned them casually, but as we are implementing it this month, we want to make sure that it's clear for everyone that there is downtime for the portal, and it's consistent with when SSA systems are down globally throughout the agency, and so this is not negotiable. But it's the hours of operation are Monday through Saturday, 5 a.m. through 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time, and then Sunday, 8 a.m. through 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time. So you do have, between midnight and I guess 4:59 a.m., you do have that slot of time, a block of time when it is not available. But I hope that the hours of operation work for everyone. For July, the ticket training Tuesdays, which you are already accustomed to, those will happen, and they will focus on key business processes like ticket assignments and payments and timely progress reviews. And they will focus on both the portal processes and the manual processes. So in the portal, you do have, it says ticket assignment, but that includes in-use SVR, case openings and closures. And so there is the capability there for you to open and close, open and close cases individually in addition to your electronic file uploads. And we realize that you all are getting the e-pay and you don't really have a need for, the VREs that get ticket assignments. You may not have a need for the payment processing through the portal, but it is there. And then timely progress, of course, is there for those of you who assist the beneficiary with that. But Wednesdays, as I mentioned, those orientation sessions are there. So take advantage of the Tuesday, July 21st session, which is the normal time frame that you would have your, I guess that's when you would have your VR meeting. Wait a minute, I'm looking at the wrong date. The 14th is when you would have had your next VR meeting, your all call, and the orientation session will happen that day. But if you want to reinforce that or supplement it with one of the other sessions or a couple of the other sessions, just know it's the same information, but it's available to you, and that's a platform for answering questions. I'm now going to turn it over to Katie Streibinger to talk to you about portal processes and manual processes.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Katie Strivinger, and I wanted to talk to you about the ticket portal process efficiencies. There's a chart showing up on your screen right now if you can view the presentation. I did see a question in the chat window that I wanted to address before I started going through this. If you have already contacted the VR help desk and given them your information and they have told you that you are enrolled in the portal, you will be receiving an email on the 15th letting you know that you are enrolled and you have access. You will be able to access the portal on the 15th if you receive an email from us, if you are enrolled. You have to have done more than just have your suitability clearance. If you have your suitability clearance and you have created your My Social Security account with Extra Security, please do contact the VR help desk and tell them you are ready to go, and they will contact you and get your information and get you enrolled so that when we send out the email on the 15th, you are included in that list. I hope that answers that question. So on the 15th, I wanted to go through the efficiencies of the ticket portal that you will see and experience compared to what you will see and experience if you are not enrolled and ready to go. The first function is checking ticket assignability. And this is a single ticket, one at a time. In the ticket portal, you'll be able to type in an SSN, and you will find out right then and there within a minute whether or not the ticket is assignable. And at that point, if you want to put that ticket in use, you will have the ability to. If you do not have enrollment in the portal and you do not have access, you will either have to have the beneficiary contact the ticket helpline to find out if their ticket's assignable, or you're going to have to fax or email the SSN to Awesome for a limited time. The turnaround time for that is currently 7 days. The second item on the list, single ticket assignment. And by this, I do mean opening a case. You need to enter the full SSN, their full first name, last name, and the date you wish to open the case. This is in real time, so if you push the submit button and process the case opening, that case will be assigned to you if everything is correct. Unlike the current portal where you have to find out whether or not the action worked, you will know right then and there that you have opened that case, and you will see that case in your list of beneficiaries currently assigned to you. The manual process for that is you will have to fax in the IWP, and the turnaround time to find out that the case has been opened successfully is 7 days from receipt. The next item, batch ticket assignment and batch case openings and closures. Through the portal, you will upload the CSV file, and it's the same CSV file format you have been using through either MOVEit or the current portal. And since this is real time, you will get a response file letting you know if the cases have been opened or closed as soon within about a minute on average. Larger files may take a little bit longer, but you will know really quickly if everything has processed and the results. And the batch files do include batch assignability, to be clear. So case opening, case closure, and batch ticket assignability will all happen in real time through the portal. The manual process for a limited time, you will still be able to upload your files to MOVEit, but that is not going to be for a very long time. We do understand that everyone is trying to get suitability and get access, so we're giving you some time to comply with all the steps that are involved in the process. But you will not have MOVEit for an indefinite period of time. So please don't think that you don't need to take some action. The preferred method for you to do this is using the portal. The turnaround time using MOVEit for this limited manual process is 7 days from receipt. The next item we're going to skip over, that's creating a payment request. That is how it will work in the future for VR cost reimbursement claims. But right now, that functionality is not there. The next item, timely progress review. Through the portal, you'll be able to select a beneficiary with a pending PPR and provide assistance. When you answer the PPR status of your beneficiaries. The turnaround time is instant. Our system will be updated automatically. The only other way to help a beneficiary complete their PPR process is to fax or email the original 1375 to AWESOM, and that is if the beneficiary requests assistance. The secure provider portal will only be available until the 30th, and the turnaround time for that is 10 days. The final item I want to stress is that reports. All the data is in real-time reports in the portal. You can find out your current case openings, your past case openings. Payment status report does not apply to you unless you get EN payments. You can also find out the pending TPRs. All of that is in real time, unlike the current process where there is a lag. And if you are not signed up for the portal as of the 30th of June, you will have to keep your own records. We will not be providing you reports. I hope this has given you a good idea of the efficiencies that are coming with the new PICKET portal and the improvements that we are giving into the system, the real-time response so that you know the status of all your cases. And as Desiree mentioned, this time next year, we'll have cost reimbursement payments add in for the next, and we hope the whole package is something you'll really find useful. So I'm going to turn it over to Michelle Leger.
Thank you, Katie. Wow, that's this is really a keepsake. Thank you so much for taking the time to walk through all of the processes and those that are available in the portal versus if manual processes are required, what the VR can expect in terms of turnaround time. We have about four. We have four questions for you, Katie and Desiree. We'd like to go ahead and read those to you now. James Wackerbarth.
Hi, this is James Wackerbarth. First question, where are we getting with a quarterly beneficiary earnings alert type of file?
Actually, we have the replacement service for that, for the Cuber. We have something ready that we would like to share with you all very soon. We're trying to establish a way to communicate it securely. We think that we are going to be establishing a format for a new password that you would use in connection with the file. But we do have that the first iteration of that Cuber replacement file ready for you.
So, Desiree, this is Michelle. At our July call, will we be able to give an update at that time?
Hopefully they'll have it but when we get to that point. But, you know, yes. But I expect we should be getting it out probably, yeah, but that call is not until mid-month, so we should definitely have it out by then.
All right, great. Thank you. James, next question?
Okay, the next question is, has the batch ticket assignment been tested, and if so, up to what size amount? And also, what format will the return file come back in?
This is Katie. I can answer that. The batch ticket assignment has been tested in a small portion so far, but it has not been tested by any of our pilot participants. That is going to be coming soon, within the next few weeks or so, actually the next week based on the chart. And then you will, as soon as we have the information, to give you a guide on the format, we will make sure that you get a copy of that. The file should come back with the exact same return codes and characters that you're used to. We're trying to make it so that you don't have to make any programming changes on your end. But at the end of this file, we are going to add some extra information, some extra return codes that SSA can provide with further information, further detail about why something was not assignable. That should be truncated when you receive the file back in. So say you normally get 100 characters back, we'll make it 108, and you would just not get those extra 8 characters. We will be sending information out as soon as we have it. We are still tweaking the process, and we do not want to send anything out until it is complete, but we will send you the instructions for that. And if anyone wants to test the batch, the batch assignability or the batch openings or closings files, you just contact the VR help desk, and we can coordinate a test with you. We can actually test your data, and you can see what results would come back. We will probably be ready to do that next week, and we have a section about testing with the current VR pilot participants and some VRAs. If you're interested in being that group that does the first testing, please contact the VR help desk and let them know, and we'll make sure that you are included in our list.
Great. Thank you, Katie. And we actually, just in case, we're posting the email address at ssa.gov. James, next question.
Okay, I'm going to sort of the next two are pretty related. Will the test files count, or will we need to still submit them through MOVEit as well when it comes to testing this feature? And then the second question was, should we suspend submitting batch files through MOVEit at this time due to conversion of the to the new SSA portal?
With the test files, we'll have to let you know. I'm not sure how systems might do it, if we are just going to test and roll it back and have you resubmit it, or if we're just going to test as a live production. We'll be in contact with you and let you know exactly what we're doing, you know, whether something is actually going to be committed to the system or not. That is a good point about your batch files. If you only submit them once a month, I think it would be a great idea if you could hold off your June files so that we can use them and test with them in June once everyone is enrolled. Otherwise, we'd have to wait till July to find out that everything is working correctly. Either that, or if there was a way you could take, we'll say your files, split it in half and submit half with your normal schedule and hold some back for our test. It is up to you how you want to do it, and we're here to help you and coordinate with you and I think that's all I have on that one.
Thank you, Katie. Any other questions, James?
A few came in. A follow-up to the Cuber question. Will timely filing be disregarded for these cases due to the delay of the replacement Cuber file?
This is Nate Arnold. I can't imagine that the delay that has been experienced thus far would actually cause anyone to miss being able to file claims timely. And I think we always, in my mind at least, you know, certainly it is not SSA's responsibility to provide you all with earnings data. Technically, you're supposed to be tracking this on your own. So I think we would not be in a good position to just say we're going to have a blanket waiver of timely filing because we didn't send listings out for a little bit. I would encourage you, though, you know, we do try to be flexible and understanding. Anytime you have a case that you believe is not going to be timely filed, give us an explanation, and we will certainly take a look at it. If it has merit, we will try to be flexible.
Okay, and the final question that we have is the July all VR call and orientation, or a combination orientation and regular call? Sure.
I'll take that. It'll be a combination. We will work with ORDAS because we know that many of the current orientation session is addressing many of the EN's concerns. So we will look at the items for the orientation session that apply to VRs. But I know that it's important for all of you to be able to ask your cost reimbursement questions. So we will definitely make time for on that hour. We may have to go for an hour and a half, but we will let you know that when the agenda goes out. Desiree, do you want to add anything to that? We'll work on the agenda and make sure we cover our bases.
No, I don't have anything to add to that.
Right. Is that all the questions, James?
Yes.
Okay. Great. So if we can, thank you for that overview and presentation, Desiree and Kate and Nate. I would now like to turn our attention to our presentation this afternoon. And again, this is Michelle Azure, EN Development and Training Manager. And it's my pleasure to welcome our guest speaker this afternoon, Dr. Joe Ashley. He is the Assistant Commissioner for Grants and Special Programs with the Virginia Department for Aging and Rehabilitation Services. Joe is no stranger to AWESOME or SSA. He has been a leader and a frontier in dealing with many, many issues impacting the VR and ENs with the Ticket to Work program. And it's definitely always a pleasure to work with him. His passion for seeing the growth and opportunities with the ticket program pushes all of us to the next frontier. So it's my pleasure to have Joe on the call today to speak to us about the Workforce Innovation and Opportunities Act. And I'm not sure, Joe, you can correct me. Is this WIOLA? Is that the correct way we're saying it now?
I always say Workforce, WIOA.
Okay. Ticket to Work Partnership Plus Opportunities.
Okay.
So, Joe, it's all yours. Thank you.
Michelle, thank you so much. And I want to congratulate Desiree and Kate on their rollout of the portal. It's been a lot of work, I know, for you all, and that's going to really help automate us and move us forward. And it's an exciting time to see that coming forward. And I'm looking forward to that in the batch files. And I also want to thank you for staying with us on the Cuber and making sure that's available, that resource is available, because that's made a big difference here in Virginia. And we do appreciate all you're doing around that. And I look forward to this thing being launched, probably not as much as you all, but we do want to congratulate you for that good work. And, Nate, it's always good to have you around and providing wisdom with your experience in this program. Some of you may have heard this presentation if you were at Bethesda with CSAVR at the cost reimbursement training, or some pieces of it anyway. And Michelle and I have done this discussion around WIOA and the Partnership Plus Opportunities that it mentions, or what we're considering the Partnership Plus Opportunities. And we had the opportunity also to discuss this on an all CSAVR call with for the directors. So at that call, we went through these as well. So we thought it might be important just to be sure that most people understand some of the requirements that are coming, because the law passed, as you all know, well, you probably are so in the middle of it like we are here in Virginia, that it has passed. Some of the proceed elements of it go into effect in a couple of weeks, and we should have new regs in January, at least that's what we keep being told. So we'll see. But one of the things that becomes important to think about are there's three places where the act is basically mentions part and ticket. So we want to talk about that a little bit today. But I do want to just say in Virginia, we have pushed pretty hard about working our ticket, and we have done a number of different interventions. We've done some in working with SSA and the OSM and some other contractors to be sure that we could get Partnership Plus up and running in Virginia, and we believe in it very strongly. David Leon has taken a sizable jump forward with us on getting our agreements in place. And it used to be that a good year in Virginia was 1.8 to 2.4 million. It has moved up to 5 million. And Nate, thank you for what you just mentioned earlier and all the work you put into it this year. And we're going to hit 7 million on our state fiscal year in cost reimbursement. And we find that to be phenomenal. The only problem is my boss and David's boss turned to us and say, now, how much of that are we going to be able to sustain? And we don't know the answer to that. We believe very strongly that finding ways to enhance our Partnership Plus and our handoffs will be the strategy that we will use to keep this sustainable by growing that particular side of the business with the Ticket to Work. So, Michelle, I think you want to move to our next slide.
Yes, we're on slide three, VR and EN partnerships, the key to success.
Okay, and I think Michelle probably skipped over the one that has her name on it and my name on it. And one of the things I just found interesting as I've been talking to Michelle, and I'm not sure everybody understands, is that she does know something about VR, having been a VR counselor and an administrator in our system. So she's been very good to work with and helping figure out some of the solutions that have helped us get a better job. Nate's been involved with that in the past as well, as helping figure out how to improve things like handoffs and other systems, and that's been critical to our success here, well, we consider our success in Virginia. But the opportunity here is to, with WIOA, is we have finding ways to work together to make sure that we can build upon the resources of what we've got in VR, and then use the ticket for a partnership plus opportunity to have follow-along support. We saw that as a strategic advantage in Virginia, and my boss, our commissioner, literally had to recruit some people to say, come on, go down this road with us, because several of them had very long memories and remembered some of the early days of the ticket program and literally didn't want to do it. So what we ended up doing was saying, yes, we need to go down this road and with them. So what we're doing now, you want to go on to the next one, Michelle?
Yes.
What we've got, I just got something that says we got 15 minutes, so I'll talk fast. I think what we've got here is three mentions. There's three places where the ticket is mentioned in the Act, and it's important to remember that when VR was last reauthorized was 98, and there is no mention in it of the ticket program. Well, that's pretty much because the ticket program wasn't passed until 99. So there's no references to it and the requirements around it. So you're going to find three places where it's mentioned. One is around assurances. And basically what it says around assurances is that state agencies will assure that they have coordinated, VR agencies will assure that they have coordinated with any other state agency that's acting as an employment network. And in our business, what an assurance typically means is you have a memorandum of understanding, a memorandum of agreement, or some other formal documentation that says you're working and have discussed this with this other organization. What you will find this in most cases where in some states their workforce has one employment network for the entire workforce development, the WIBS. Others, mental health may have it. Developmental disabilities may have employment networks that are state agency sponsored. So that's really what it's saying in those cases. And it's just about collaborating and being sure everybody knows what's going on. Another location is when it talks about the fact that if you have a situation where there's a person who has an IPE in place or is developing an IPE, and their ticket is either assigned or they want to then assign their ticket to an employment network, it is the responsibility of the VR counselor in this process to be sure that they have coordinated the services of the employment network is going to do and what the VR agency is going to do. Now, it says very clearly that we have to be a part of making sure who's going to do what to whom by when. Are with him, so that we've just really got to identify the services VR is going to provide and the ones that the employment network are going to provide. It's one thing to say this has to happen. It's going to be upon the VR agencies to figure out how to train their counselors to be able to do this. And I imagine that it's going to fall in our case on the ticket to work coordinator to be sure that this process is put into place. So if it happens here, it might happen in your agency the same way. So we got to be sure that if somebody has a ticket assigned somewhere else, it's in our documentation around the IPE, that who's going to do what and how it's differentiated. This doesn't mean that if somebody takes their ticket and puts it in with a different employment network and not with the VR agency, that we can say, well, in that case, we're not going to provide you with services or close the case. I think that's I don't see that that's what this means. I don't see how VR can do that, but different people have different policies, so that's something that everybody's going to figure out. How do you say who's going to pay for what service? That's just my opinion. The third place we see a mention here is in the IPE development. If you have an individual who is on SSI or SSDI, there is a requirement that we, being VR, in the development of this, identify the services that are necessary for that person to be successful, including what they call benefits counseling. I like to refer to as work incentives and benefits counseling. And make sure that they are aware of that. Also, it mentions that when it comes time for post-employment or when case closure, that we need to make people aware that there are resources out there that may help them maintain or retain their employment, including employment networks. Now, it doesn't say you have to very clearly say to them the list of all SSA-certified employment networks in their area, but it does say that we need to make sure they're aware of the benefits counseling piece, the work incentives and benefits stuff, and what resources might be available. And we have made a strategic decision here in Virginia that we believe that handing off directly to an employment network that has work incentive specialists in it, what we call people who are experts in either CWIC or other through VCU or through the Cornell, their work incentives certification, increases the likelihood that they will maintain and retain their employment and stay engaged. So we have literally used our Medicaid infrastructure grant when it was available and our I&E resources to help people get this certification and have put it in our Partnership Plus Employment Network partners. We now have, I think the new number is 71 of these experts around the state in these several of our partners have multiple of these. Some of them are in state agencies. So we're trying to create a culture that helps people understand this choice to go to work and supports it through this process. And we have found it extremely beneficial to us. It also is a reason to help our VR counselors understand why they might want to do a handoff for a person who's not a support employment client to somebody who has long-term employment supports through the ticket program. That's what we saw. We had a agreement among David and me that we would try to increase resources going to our employment network Partnership Plus people, our organizations, to increase that resource from ticket in our state by $500,000. We just believe if they're stronger, then our ability of our clients to be successful gets stronger in these organizations. So we have done a lot of different things to put things in place, and we see these new what we think will become regulations and requirements as making that case of looking at those long-term employment supports. So that's basically where we see it. I'm trying to condense this from the other presentations we've done to the shortest possible. But I did just want to take a few minutes and let you all know. And, Michelle, if there's any questions, are you going to talk to them about? There are a lot of Partnership Plus agreements out there in Virginia. We have one that has a retention benchmark payment and a few other things, but every organization and every agency needs to do one that fits for them. And Michelle has a resource base that if you haven't done this, and we choose to do a formal Partnership Plus agreement, it's not required. We just find it makes it a little easier to know who's going to do what and the process for the handoffs. And Michelle has a resource that can show you what other states have done, because there's many good agreements out there. We just happen to have one that we like, but others have some that work much better for their state. And one other quick thing I'll say is, in addition to being in my role here, one of the things that I've learned a lot about the ticket and employment networks and things, I happen to be on the board of the National Employment Network Association and chair of the Partnership Plus Committee. Gina Hoff, who I believe is online as well from Wisconsin, ticket work coordinator, is the co-chair of that committee. And if any of you are trying to figure out how to create some opportunities around Partnership Plus, that's a good place to get some information. You can join Nina, and we would welcome you on our Partnership Plus committee discussions, because the more of us that are from the VR side working with the EN side can create stronger partnerships.
Thank you, Joe.
And I'll take a breath so you can get a word in.
No, that's fine. No, thank you for that overview, and thank you for your leadership, you and David, on all the different types of creative ways you've looked at collaboration and expanding the ticket program wherever possible. And I'm actually just went past the Partnership Plus agreement language. Many of you have Partnership Plus agreements. They are not mandatory. But as Joe say, they provide clarity, roles and responsibilities, definitely many of the agreements that we're seeing lately are including descriptions of the role of certified work incentive coordinators. Some of the agreements that we're seeing are even speaking to making sure beneficiaries are aware of what impact and how to maintain their health insurance. So the agreements can be as creative as the individuals working on it. And as we just said, it's not mandatory, but we've seen a lot of good practices and a good thing and good things happening through those utilization. The table that we have shown here on GatherPlace identifies the 8 agreements that, as far as we know of, currently exist between state VR agencies and another state agency. So that other state agency might be Department of Labor, Workforce, DDS, or Mental Health. And clearly those states that have moved forward with these types of agreements are right in line with one of the first citation that speaks to assurances and working with other state agencies. So kudos for you, those states that are already in place, and definitely other states can, you can use them as a resource. We have copies of many of these agreements. Your the staff here is definitely willing and able to assist you in providing you copies of these agreements if you would like to look at them. We have 16 states that actually have agreements available for employment networks to sign on. We have a few states, 3 of them, that at this point in time have decided not to have agreements, and they have other formal working relationships outlined. 5 states with advancement or benchmark payments. We have the New York statewide administrative EN in place. And our work isn't done because we know there is more to develop and to grow around Partnership Plus in terms of the creativity that you at the local level can develop and share with us and share with your fellow states under VR. The next slide shows a visual collaboration picture where Partnership Plus is from East Coast to the West Coast. It's everywhere. And also the black dots identify those states with state-to-state agreements. And I'm going to stop there and see if we have any questions from any of our listeners. Operator, do you have anyone that's called in?
Yes, and just as a reminder for those that would like to register an audio question, please press the star followed by the 1 on your telephone keypad. You do have a question from the line of Gina Haupt.
Hi, Gina.
Hello.
Hi there. Can you share with us what's going on in your state around Partnership Plus?
Partnership Plus in Wisconsin just has been going really well in Wisconsin. The agencies that we have approximately 6 agencies in Wisconsin that we do Partnership Plus with. Obviously, we're a more rural state or smaller state, but it has been great. We are hoping to get more agencies up and running because it is a wonderful source for our consumers to be able to have ongoing support. Our counselors are really getting on board, handing our consumers off to the employment networks and seeing the benefits in it. And it has really provided that ongoing support for our consumers, and it has really been a win-win for actually, I would say a win-win-win because it's a win for our agency, for the employment network, and most importantly for our consumers because it provides a nice, smooth transition and then ongoing support for them for, you know, many years after VR closure. So it's been great, and I think many people are starting to see the benefit of it.
Gina, do you want to just share with us, thank you for that summary and also just how positive it's working for your state, but I know there's challenges out there. What would you say is one challenge for Wisconsin around Partnership Plus?
Trying to get some of the more rural areas covered, so trying to get northern Wisconsin, trying to get Partnership Plus agencies up there to work there. So that has been a challenge, trying to get that area covered. trying to get some of the agencies that we want to work with, because we see them as active vendors within our agency, and we see that they would good VR or good employment networks, trying to get them on board with becoming an EN, because I think they still have it in their mind of it being that competition, or trying to get the employment networks that are employment networks to open up to being a partnership plus with us. Both James, who is on the call, is fabulous, and myself have reached out to some of them, and they just won't respond back. So sometimes that is a challenge.
Dina, thank you for that. And part of our recruitment effort this year and in the future, given the RFP process and all of that, is to look at working with state VR agencies and identifying those areas where, just as you explained, that recruitment, getting the VR vendors to look at the ticket program as a new revenue source, a new source for them to consider and to become part of the ticket program. So thank you for that. Did you have any closing remarks before I move on to the next call?
Nope, that's all. Thank you, Michelle.
Oh, thank you. Operator, do we have anyone else that's called in?
Yes, your next response is from the line of Tom Short.
Hello. Actually, I have a question in regards to the old reimbursement process.
Go ahead.
First of all, I want to recognize is the tremendous amount of work that's been done in working down the pending list to historical levels. But what we're seeing is an increase in the number of denials that we really have questions about, and that's resulted in us so far this fiscal year submitting 42 reconsideration requests, which is far above our historical average. What we're finding is certainly an increase in the number of denials for entitlement issues where we have a ticket in use, and also a number of denials for SGA reasons where we definitely have proof of 9 months of SGA. So what we're beginning to think is that although you're cranking out the numbers, the quality maybe is not up where it needs to be yet. And I'd just like to make that comment and ask if any other states are seeing that, and Nate, if you're aware of that, if anything is being done in regards to that.
Hey, Tom. Obviously, we watch, when people file recons to see if there's a trend or a pattern and use it as a guide for, refresher training on our staff. If we find out, in fact, that somebody has a misunderstanding or is not, following it correctly, I would not say that if there is a fall off in quality, that it's because people are working too fast. It would be more that you have somebody who's just not clear on a particular subject or something. Sometimes even people who've been doing the job a long time fall into bad habits. We have had a couple of refresher training sessions for the whole staff on areas that we became aware were somewhat problematic, but we'll stay on top of it. And if you notice it from your end, you think it's a pattern, get it to the help desk or to Danielle. Or if I'm back in Dubuque in the minor leagues and you can get hold of me, let me know.
Nate, I thank you very much for that. And like I said, I certainly want to recognize the tremendous work your staff's done in catching up on the pending list. And we'll certainly take you up on that, and we'll find you in Dubuque. Don't worry about that.
Always good to talk to you, Tom.
Thanks, Nate.
Thank you. Operator, do we have any other calls from our listeners?
Yes, your next question comes from the line of John DePlessis.
Hi, John.
Hey, how are you going today?
Good.
Listen, one of the unfortunate parts about it is that I've been trying to work with my local state vocation rehab since I became an employment network in 3 years now, and they just have been very difficult. From my understanding, they don't participate with the Partnership Plus, but they have their own separate agreement. And even with the separate agreement, trying to work with them has been very challenging. And I'm just hoping that maybe they will be able to be brought on board soon in the future. And because there are a lot of services that there are consumers that actually leave with patient rehab and come to our agency, you know, requesting assistance.
Hi, John. This is Michelle. So you're an employment network?
Yes, uh-huh.
And are you on Gather Place? Did you see my contact information? If you could shoot me an email so I can contact you with your ticket coordinator.
Okay, sure, sure, sure. No problem.
Okay.
So you can just contact you and you name again?
Yes, Michelle Azure.
Great.
And I will definitely get you in contact with your ticket coordinator so the two of you can talk about Partnership Plus.
Yes, ma'am. Is that the ticket coordinator in Alabama?
Yes, I didn't ask what state you were from, but yes, that would be the ticket coordinator in Alabama.
Yes, ma'am. I have tried to work with her. I am familiar with the ticket coordinator here in Alabama, but they just have been very difficult to work with.
Well, let's see what we can do. Just send me an email, please.
Okay, I will do so. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for calling in. Next question, operator.
Your next question comes from David Leon.
Hi, David.
Hi, how are you? I just wanted to add a little bit about what we're doing in Virginia. And one of the things we almost got ready to roll out, we have been working on changing our Partnership Plus agreements to reflect the WIOA changes so that the language is current. But another of the benefits that it depends on how each state approaches it, because we have so many Partnership Plus agreements, one of the issues we used to face often was where we had clients and they might be in our system with an incorrect Social Security number or during the intake the numbers got inverted. And in those kind of cases, we would never be in a position to get reimbursement. And we have, in the time I've been here, probably changed 30 clients' information to make sure those tickets were in use SVR, because our Partnership Plus agency working with them while the case was open noticed that a case they wanted us to help with the handoff was not in use SVR. So there are a lot of side benefits to Partnership Plus for a VR agency if you are working closely with your partners and they understand the benefits of cost reimbursement. I think that's a piece that people miss often.
Thank you, David. Do you want to just share with us one of your challenges?
Well, honestly, I would say the biggest challenge right now is assisting our one of the things we've switched to is we are really promoting the administrative employment network model, because we have a lot of smaller agencies who become involved in the ticket, but they lack the internal administrative capacity to actually regularly do the different things that are required to keep all the systems up. And we had groups we'd work with where their passwords would expire for various systems because they didn't have a need to go in them as often as the requirements. And we're trying to address that challenge through the administrative employment network model. Otherwise, there's always, our data could always be better. There's more room to grow in every area, and just kind of keeping all the balls in the air is always a challenge.
It's a challenge. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for calling in. Operator,
well,
do we have any other questions?
Yes, you have a question from the line of Harold Thornton.
Hi, Harold.
Hi, how are you doing, Sean?
Oh, Harold Thornton. Hi, Harold. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
That's good.
I'd like to thank Joe for Dr. Ashley for his presentation. I had the opportunity to co-present with Dr. Ashley when the NENA conference was here in Orlando, and knew that the state of Virginia was really moving out on Partnership Plus. Just have one question I need to ask about the WIPA program. And how things are going with the review to identify who's going to be providing services in the respective catchment areas. I look at Web of Services as being essential to Partnership Plus working and also our getting to successful outcomes that are in competitive level employment. And without effective Web of Services and an effective Web of Service program, I don't think that we can really see the Ticket to Work program blossom into what it should, what it's intended to be. How are the reviewers coming and identifying the next grantees, and is there a connection that other states see and between Web of Services and Partnership Plus?
Hello, this is Desiree. Nate went to get someone to give an update on the WIPR. We don't have anyone in the room right now who could give a status on how things are going.
Okay, great.
We expect that they're going well, but we want to try to grab someone to give an update.
Great. I know the new contracts are supposed to begin on August the 1st, and that requires some ramp-up time for WIPRs to get there. Sales and position to be effective and for the continuity of services. So if there is some information you can provide to state agencies, that would be great. I do see, again, that public services are essential even in the VR process, because it helps individuals to really understand how the work incentives can help them to achieve self-sufficiency and improve their quality of life. So.
Carol, we have the source here, Carol Cohen.
The source.
Yes.
I don't know that.
Of all things WIPA.
All things WIPA, that's right.
So if you...
if you'd kind of just recount your question, Carol, I think...
I was just trying to get a status of how things are going with the awarding of the grants for the new WIPA contracts beginning August 1st.
Mm-hmm. I wish I had more information that I was permitted to share, but at this point, what I can say is that all applicants will learn of their status on or before August 1st. I'm sorry. I can't say much more than that. We're still in process.
I understand. And,
yeah.
And are the awardees expected to begin services on August 1st?
Well, they're going to have their award by August 1st, on or before August 1st, and we realize that there will be some startup time, of course, and we'll be providing a great deal of technical assistance and training and support from the staff here directly, your project officers, and also, of course, our contractors. But we realize that for some projects that may be new to this, there will be lots and lots of support and ample opportunity to ramp up.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Okay. You're welcome. Sure.
Your next question comes from Eugenia Cox.
Hi, Eugenia.
How are you?
Good.
A couple of questions. I was working with the portal as one of the test states, and I was having problems assigning tickets, and I didn't know if that glitch had been looked at, or I haven't got an update yet. There was a few glitches in there providing more information than should be provided and not being able to assign tickets. So that was one question I had.
All right, thank you. Yes. You said you had a second question?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't know if you wanted to respond to that one. And the other question I had was for Joe Ashley. Are you still there, Joe?
Might be on mute. Is it on mute, Joe?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Thank you.
I've been talking to you when Harold was on there. Never mind. Go ahead, Gina.
Yeah, real quick question on that second requirement in WIOA. Far as, did you say that if somebody was in plan with VR, and then they wanted to use an EN while they were in plan with VR, that the BRC had to coordinate that?
What it's saying
Did I
is you have,
that?
You, what you have to have is a plan that says, here's what VR is going to do in relation to what the IWP says.
So this
That's
is prior to plan, during plan development?
It depends on where you are, the person in the system. It could be as you're developing a plan and they're saying, I've got a my ticket is assigned. This is how I read it, so you may want your policy people to look at this. So
yeah, because that's the first that I've heard.
Yeah, this is new. This is new. And it's basically, it's on the slides, the exact language is on the slides. And it basically says if they're in a plan or they're developing a plan and their ticket is assigned to another employment network or they're choosing to assign their ticket to another employment network, then the VR plan has to be, it has to be clear about how it coordinates with the other plan.
Because we have a hard time getting into plans.
I can hardly wait. I know exactly where you're going.
And we also have ENs that provide little to no services at all, you know, reimbursement of money, which, you know, it doesn't coordinate at all with anything that we do. So that's going to be interesting.
And I think I don't think it's just us have the plan. I think it'll be interesting to see if the regs also require on the EN side that they coordinate. There's already a requirement that they're supposed to do that on the Social Security side when they refer. So I don't know if that's going to be included in here or not. But on the VR side, we have to have identified it's basically who's going to do what by when.
Yeah, and we don't usually get the information on whether somebody's ticket is assigned to another provider until after they're in plan and we report it to Social Security.
Yeah.
So that's kind of
it's going to be an interesting
difficult
process
to write it into a plan when you don't even know.
Then you'd have to go back and amend it, I think.
Okay.
Or you start asking different questions when you develop the plan.
Yeah, because a lot of people don't remember or know that their ticket is assigned to somebody else. They've either forgotten or they just assume it.
Yeah, it may
I'll
be
I'll
that
talk
we
to you
start,
about it later. But
we may start doing we may start checking things out sooner to find out if their ticket's assignable. I mean, there's just a lot of different ways to address this, and that's sort of what we're all going to have to continue to talk about over the next over the next year, because it's going to take some thinking through to do this in a way that makes sense. I would agree with
and
that.
Yeah, that's going to be a real lengthy discussion, I think, that, you know, we can also talk about later. But the other thing I wanted to say that you did say, Joe, that you talked a little bit about NINA, and I do want to encourage other state VR agencies. There's so few of us from the state VR agencies that are part of NINA, and I can't even stress how beneficial it has been for us to be able to provide our input on
and
VR culture and how we operate, and the things that we've learned from ENs and the things that they learn from us, it's so beneficial, especially now with it written into WIOA. The collaboration, it has to be there, and NINA is definitely a good way to do that. Membership is not that expensive for the benefits that you get.
I agree
so
with that.
I just wanted to say that, too. I'm done. Sorry.
No, that was good. Thank you, Joe and Eugenia. That was good.
Michelle, I've got a grant that's due, and I must apologize. I got to jump off and take care of it. I'm putting out a little fire here, so.
No. Thank you, Joe. And actually,
I do want to say thanks for the opportunity to talk with everybody.
Absolutely. And we are 17 minutes after the hour. I know that we started a little late today, but this was good conversation. I want to thank our presenter, Joe Ashley, and SSA for the updates they gave. Nate, I'll just turn it to you if you have any closing remarks. Otherwise, we can conclude our call today.
Thanks, Michelle, and also, of course, thanks to Joe. You guys are doing a great job. I think the work is really paying off. I don't really have any more closing remarks. We'll look forward to the July call, which I'm sure will also, as you said, probably be an hour and a half or close to it, because we'll have a lot of information to go over at that point. So everybody, have a good one till then. We'll talk to you next month.
Yes, thank you. Thank you all for hanging in there today. We really appreciate it. Have a good evening. Bye-bye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That does conclude today's call. We thank you for your participation and ask that you please disconnect your line at this time.